Hi, it's good to see you. Nice family tonight. Well, it is, like I said, it's really great to be here tonight and just experience each other as a family. This is the family room, and we are all family, family of believers, right? Even though we may not be blood related, we are blood related in the spiritual sense. So you're all one big family. So I was thinking about the things we've talked about so far in the family room and in church, and you know, some of the key points were that we wanted to be intentional about loving the lost and lonely, going out, seeking out people that don't know Christ, bringing them into the family, and then embracing folks that are just lonely. Maybe they don't have a church home, and they're looking for a place to become truly a part of the family. We've also spoken about the spirit of adoption, adopting in children into our family, you know, for in the literal sense, literal adoptions, and then how that also extends to adopting each other and adopting and treating the family of believers and people that aren't yet family as though we're adopting them in, and how we can show hospitality. So it's all been about building relationships among believers and non-believers so that we can spread the love of Christ. Ultimately, to spread the love of Christ. So this evening, I want to talk about forgiveness as it relates to our biblical family here and also to our Heavenly Father. So I want to start off with this little story, a story of a grandmother who on her golden wedding anniversary, and if you don't know what that is, that's if you've been married for 50 years. 50 years, that's the golden wedding anniversary. So she revealed the secret of her long and happy marriage. And she said, "On my wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, that I would overlook." So she said, and one of the guests at the celebration asked her to name some of the faults that she was listing as her 10. And she said, "You know, to tell you the truth, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hoppin' mad, I'd say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. All right? Great secret to a long marriage, right? There was a great quote that I found by C.S. Lewis related to forgiveness. Of course, he's the author of a lot of books and the Narnia series. Incredible author if you get a chance to read some of his books, not just the fictional, but some of the ones on the foundations of just Christian life. Amazing. But that's right, Mere Christianity is one. He said, "Everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive." Isn't that true, right? It's great when someone comes to us and repents and says, "I'm sorry." But put the shoe on the other foot, at least for me, it's a little harder to humble and go to that person and say, "Wow, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that I did that." But anytime we're in relationships in this world, obviously, in as long as we're alive in this world, we need forgiveness at some point. And so unless you're locked in a room somewhere and you never go out, I guess you're going to have to go out to at least get food once in a while, and you might need forgiveness from the checkout person or need to offer them forgiveness, right? So no matter what you do, you can't avoid forgiveness. And so let me ask you just a couple questions by raising our hands. Has anybody ever been offended by, say, a Christian? How is that possible? Christians, right? They're supposed to be perfect? Well, no, I guess they're not. Because we've all been offended by Christians. Thankfully, we're all being made into his image. You know, we all haven't arrived yet. So it is possible to be offended by other Christians. How about, has anybody ever been offended by a pastor or a church leader? Sure. Yep. As I'm standing here, then, is anybody offended by me? My wife is raising her hand, yes. If you're too shy to raise your hand, I'll ask you forgiveness right now, okay? Please forgive me. or bring it up to me afterwards, please, if I've offended you. How about this? Has anyone ever offended somebody and just not realized that they've done it? Absolutely. I think that's probably a fairly common thing that happens, you know, maybe especially in the church. Here's another question. Just maybe holler out some examples to me of, in churches, how offense may be taken and thus generate a need for forgiveness. What are some things that happen in churches specifically that might offend somebody? Any ideas?
Politics.
Politics? Game? What'd you say, Jimmy?
I was saying politics.
Yeah. Okay, yep. How about disagreement over Scripture? Might be offended by something like that, or disagreement over how the gifts of the Spirit should be handled. What about, say, someone walks in the door and they have something in their mind, they just beeline to the back room and don't talk to somebody. Maybe they just pass by, and that might offend someone potentially in the church setting. So there's a lot of ways that we can potentially be offended, and that's just a really small list. But what does the world believe about forgiveness? We're going to have some sense, and I'm going to talk about what Christians should believe about forgiveness. What about the world? How do they treat forgiveness, and what are kind of their views on forgiveness? You can holler that out.
Some people don't deserve it.
Yeah, people don't deserve my forgiveness. Absolutely. What else?
Retaliation.
Yes, exactly. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. Revenge. I'm going to get revenge on you rather than forgiveness.
Shows you're weak.
Shows you're weak. Absolutely. Don't forgive. Don't forgive. You'll be just viewed as a weak person, a weak man or a weak woman. I also thought of some other things like, for example, we have the right to be angry. I have the right to be angry over this situation. They wronged me. I'm not going to forgive them. Also, if they don't say they're sorry, I'm not going to forgive them. They better come hands and knees to me before I forgive them. So what is the meaning of forgiveness? I went and hit the Greek, and the word is aphesis. So in English, a simple translation is release. I think that's a great translation of it, release. Real simple, not complicated. It's basically just choosing someone with whom you've been holding in your debt, holding in resentment, bitterness, and just releasing them. As I was preparing, I was thinking about a movie that I saw many years ago. I did find it, found a clip on YouTube, because you can find everything on YouTube. It was called The Mission. If anybody has seen it, it's a story of a guy named Rodrigo Mendoza. He was a Spanish adventurer, and it was played by Robert De Niro. And basically, he was a soldier. I didn't watch the whole movie again, but he was a soldier, and he enslaved Indians and killed his brother in a duel. And then he changed his heart, and he wanted forgiveness for doing all of those things. And so as a sign of his repentance, his repentant heart, he basically took his armor, his suit of armor, put it in this bag, and the bag was huge. It was probably something like this. And he literally tied it around him and drug it behind him, maybe 5 or 6, 7 feet behind him, as a sign of his repentance. And he became, I think it was a priest of some kind, this order. And so he really was changing his life, but he felt like he had to carry this around as a sign of his repentance. And so he ends up dragging this suit of armor up this waterfall and through this muddy, mucky thing, and he almost falls and dies several times through the trip. And at the top of the mountain, he actually sees and they meet a tribe of the Indians that he actually used to play a part in killing and enslaving them. And the drama of it was that the Indians, they didn't kill him. They saw and understood the repentance of his heart and that he was serious about it. And so they came up to him, cut the ropes, cut the shackles, so to speak, and pushed it off the cliff so he couldn't retrieve it. Because earlier on, one of his fellow priests cut it off, but he went back and tied it on because it wasn't really receiving forgiveness from his fellow priests. But he actually got it from the Indians whom he was previously enslaving. Just a real powerful vision of forgiveness, especially with something so serious as what he had committed against these Indians. And I was thinking about the consequences of holding on to offense and not forgiving. One of the passages I found was Psalm 32, and it's David talking. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit." And this is the part that kind of talks about the consequences of it. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. His bones were wasting away through his groaning all day long. So he was in pain because of this unforgiveness. And then he says, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. He's talking about God's hand was heavy upon him. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. He's talking to God and did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So I was thinking about, you know, holding on to, you know, either not giving forgiveness or not letting it go when you think someone needs to forgive you. It creates a heaviness upon us. And I think further it can create health issues, you know, maybe stomach problems. And sometimes I think maybe we feel it feels good to talk about something that's bad, right? So we sometimes get in that cycle of talking about somebody else, and, oh, yeah, you should feel bad. And it just kind of turns to this mental downwards spiral of depression that's really hard to get out of, and it obviously can affect your health as well. So it really is like being shackled when we don't let that go. So is forgiveness optional? So to demonstrate, let's all say the Lord's Prayer together. All right, everybody ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, right? And then just after that, I think this is the key verse. It ties right into forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So it isn't optional. It's not optional. We need to forgive. What about the question of whether it's necessary for someone to ask for forgiveness in order for us to give it? Is repentance needed first in order for us to give it? And I say the answer is no. We don't always need to have that person say sorry before we give them our forgiveness. And I found some verses. I'll kind of jump through a couple of them. But this one does show that coupled with forgiveness is repentance. It's Luke 17, 3 and 4. He says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day and seven times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And then there's some other verses that to me indicate that you don't always need to have that someone come to you and say, you know, will you forgive me before you actually forgive them. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So before we came to him and said, God, I repent of my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. He had already forgiven us. That's pretty powerful. And then Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. No one had come to him to say, the soldiers hadn't come and say, sorry, Jesus. But yet he forgave. And then Mark 11:25, he said, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So it seems pretty clear to me. Repentance is important. We do need to repent. But it's not a total requirement to offer forgiveness for others. And then, you know, I just really want to talk about God's nature as it relates to forgiving others. I mean, we want to emulate him in all that we do. And his ways are perfect, our ways are not. So I want to just hit a few key points. Because, you know, we have, as Christians, we have his integrity imprinted on us. And like I talked earlier, we are adopted into his family. so that we literally can take on his nature and take on his being as best we can living here on earth. So first, God is merciful. I mean, I pray this often. I say, his mercy is great and his love endures forever. He is a merciful God. All through the Psalms and the Proverbs, all through the Bible, really, it talks about his mercy or showing forgiveness or kindness when punishment is truly justified. So even though we need punishment and deserve punishment, he doesn't give it to us. He gives us mercy. In Psalm 103:8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that just makes me think, you know what? We can't take offense. We need to be slow to anger. If I brush past you because I've got something else on my mind, don't be offended. Let's be slow to anger. And even if someone says something that is hurtful, let's be slow to anger, because he is slow to anger. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is Matthew 18, that's when Peter came to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus, of course, says, no, I tell you, 77 times or 70 times seven, a big number, right? A big enough number to where if we're keeping track, we got the wrong attitude, right? We cannot keep track of how many times our brother comes and asks us to forgive them. So God is just merciful. And then, of course, the ultimate show of mercy from God was sending his son Jesus to die for us, to take our sin on himself so that we didn't have to pay that punishment. Amazing the mercy that he has for us and that we need to show to others. And then, you know, he has a heart that's willing to listen. He listens to our prayers. He encourages us to pray. So I think of that as, look, I need to be willing to listen and talk through problems and just work things out. You know, be willing to go that extra mile to talk to my brothers and sisters and, of course, my family. But I'm talking really in the context of the church body, how we can relate together and be like Jesus. Have a heart that's willing to listen. And then we should be holy because he is holy. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And I want to see the Lord. I want to see him. I don't want unforgiveness to get in the way of my seeing my Heavenly Father and his ways. So let's be holy. And then his forgiveness is perfect. I mean, we know that forgiveness between people is not not easy. It's a messy thing in a lot of cases. Unless it's a small thing that we're forgiving. Usually that's pretty easy, but talk about a big thing, those can be messy. It, you know, hurt feelings and all kinds of potential problems there. But God's forgiveness for us is perfect. In Psalm 103 it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And does he give forgiveness freely or is he stingy with it? Freely. He freely gives. You think about the gift of forgiveness on the cross. It's just, it's overwhelming to think about how freely that was given from the pain that he endured to take that and give us his forgiveness. And then we were singing about his great love for us. It's amazing love that he has for us. We need to emulate that to others so that we can be ready quickly to forgive, to emulate his love. Now, God is also a God of justice. And sometimes there's punishment or consequences for wrongs that are done, even though that he fully forgives. And sometimes there's punishment when someone does wrong in our midst or in our family or obviously with the law. But forgiveness still should be given, even though punishment may still be required. Forgiveness still should be given. And then God loves when we reconcile with others. He's all about relationship, isn't he? All about relationship. And then in Matthew 5:23, it says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. He really wants that among believers and amongst family in any situation where forgiveness is required. And then lastly, God loves when we reconcile with him. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm going to seek your word. I'm going to pray. And he brings us, he holds us in his arms. He reconciles and he forgives us because he's already done it. He's already done it on the cross. So how can we forgive? I guess what are some practical steps in the forgiveness process? And I think these definitely apply to the church and in many, many areas. So first, I think we have to acknowledge that we've been hurt. I think it's okay to admit that we're angry. Don't just deny reality or play some kind of games and say, it's not bothering me, it's not affecting me. Just admit it. It's kind of the first step in learning to forgive. Then second, just confess that we've sinned against God or the other person. And then third, acknowledge that God, instead of retaliating against us, he allowed his son to pay for our sins. And that should soften our hearts, tenderize us to the situation when we think about what he has done for us and the incredible nature of that. And so we're more easily able to extend that out to those that may have wronged us. And then fourth, to face the fact that unless we forgive all others, that God can't forgive us. And yes, it includes your in-laws or anybody that's real difficult to deal with. It includes everybody. And then with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit, make a decision to forgive, a conscious decision. And you know what? We may not feel it in our heart that we're ready to go out there and forgive, but you know, we just need to make that decision to do it. And God will honor it. He will honor it, absolutely, because it's his word. We need to obey his word. And then sixth, if we pray that God will break the chains of bondage. I mean, I think in some families, there's kind of a tradition of not forgiving. And I think we just need to break those chains, break them from the past, and pray against that so that now is the time when we will be a forgiving family or forgiving individual. We won't hold grudges any longer. We will let it go. And then we need to ask daily for God to give us the power to forgive. Like I said, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do what goes out against human nature, because human nature is to say, forget it. Forget it. It's too hard. I'm right. They're wrong. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray daily about it. And he will answer those prayers and help us to do it. And then eighth, ask God to release you from the prison of resentment. It really is a prison. And also ask him to, if it's a good idea, to notify the person that you've offended or that you've been offended by. Either I forgive you for what you've done. Some cases that may be appropriate. Some cases it may not be appropriate. What if something happened and you didn't know that you offended me and I suddenly came to you and said, hey, you offended me, but I forgive you, right? It's probably not going to go over too well. The person then will probably be offended because you said you were offended. So pray about it, whether or not it's good to go and talk to that person. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, don't put any limits on forgiveness. 70 times 7. Pick a number. It's a huge number. Don't count. Don't put limits on the forgiveness that we are willing to give. How about, should I forgive and forget? Or can I forgive and forget? So if we've gone this far, we've been able to forgive, can we forget? I'm going to say in most cases, we probably can't forget. But, you know, we can make a decision to put it in the back of our mind and not focus on it, not get into that spiral of talking about it and bringing it back up. Forgive and put it out of your mind and then pray daily, God, put this out of my mind. Take those thoughts captive and put it out of my mind. There was a little story about Clara Barton, who founded the American Red Cross. And apparently this reporter asked her about a real bad thing that somebody had done to her quite a few years before. And she really seemed not to recall the incident that happened many years before. And the reporter said, "Don't you remember?" She said, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting that incident." So she obviously had made a choice. "I'm not going to remember that. I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want it to eat me up inside and just tear me to pieces over time." Because that's really what it'll do. It'll tear you to pieces. So do I want God to measure my forgiveness based on my standard of measure? You know, how many sins have I forgotten about that I'll never confess to him? Do I want him to judge me based on me always trying to remember every single sin and come to him? No. Because there's many times that I've let pride or anger get into my system, and I've not gone to God and said, "Hey, forgive me, God." But yet he still forgives me, regardless. And I know that I need his mercy, and I don't want anything to stand between me and his mercy. So rather than requesting judgment on somebody else, I might get that same judgment. I want mercy for this person. I want mercy for myself. I want to be willing to give mercy rather than require justice. God, give us the ability to give mercy. Let's go to a time of prayer.